Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Gabby, for the readings. And thank you, Philippa, for your little animation. I'm not probably going to be talking as well as the animation, but thank you. So I'd just like to say a prayer before I start. Lord, please just listen over and help everybody to understand the spirit of your love and the understanding that what this story tells us and the teachings that we're going to get from it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So last week we had David talking about the encounter with Jesus that Thomas had. And again, Thomas's encounter was a difficult one. As well as this one with Peter, it's always difficult when you deny one of your friends. And so that's like the theme in which I'm going to be focusing my sermon on. So Peter's first encounter with Jesus is when he's told to come follow him. Jesus had a plan. He knew who he wanted in his fold. Jesus' ministry was short, a mere 3 years. 3 years to cram in the corrections, corrections of the centuries of failures and the misinterpretation of Scripture. God's plan for reconciliation with his people revolved round Jesus, the divine, having a presence on earth. Here to lead the way, to show the truth, and to be the light in the darkness. Peter, impulsive in nature, Jesus told him in a rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Imagine being told by a trusted mentor that your mindset is flawed. Peter perseveres because he believes in his friend. He believes that Jesus has his best interest in hand. When he walked towards Jesus on the water, the moment Peter lost his focus, he began to doubt his own capabilities. He invited the deceiver in, who will then start corrupting the mind. In Job 5:17, "Blessed is the man whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he always binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal." Our gospel reading, John chapter 21, is the last chapter of that gospel. The reinstatement of Peter after the denial is fundamental. The denial is likely to have crippled Peter. He would have been raw. In Luke's account of the three denials, we're told Peter wept bitterly when he heard the cock crow. Peter would have remembered the conversation concerning his name, "Peter the rock, upon which I will build my church." Luke 22, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." I'll just quickly add in there, the distinction between Simon and Peter. Simon was his birth name, but then he was because the church was going to be built on him, he got then called, also known as Peter. So I'll continue. "Your brothers, Peter will become a leader, slightly reluctant one, because leadership requires responsibility. If he's feeling like a failure, he will never succeed. Peter is to become the backbone of the church, to whom the followers will depend on. Mary Magdalene, on discovering the empty tomb, ran straight to Peter, knowing and believing that he will have her understanding. And the qualities of leadership, the reinstatement of Peter by the resurrected Jesus, is deep and poignant. The question, 'Do you truly love me more than these? Feed my lambs.' The lambs can be identified as those growing in faith, those who would need shepherding, those guiding by the rod and the staff. They would need the stability and assurance of their faith to see them through. The second question poised, do you truly love me? Peter answers, yes, take care of my sheep. By taking care of the sheep, community is required along with nurturing. The community will need to grow in confidence. The third question, do you love me? Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter is to take on the attributes of Jesus, the good shepherd, in order to satisfy his request that they be filled with the knowledge that Christ is the Lord and our salvation. Christ had a genuine love which manifested itself in his caring nature. The whole time Christ was on earth, he was willing to give himself entirely to his people, a love with immeasurable depth. Being loved is an identity. According to Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. When God the Father was restoring Israel, Jeremiah 31, verses 3 to 5, was told, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams and water on a level path where they will not stumble because I am Israel's father. Jeremiah's description is similar to that of the psalm. He restores our souls and guides us in the paths of righteousness. Restoring Peter after the three denials by asking, do you love me? Love for Jesus is the foundation of ministry. Offering grace for failure and commission to leadership. His commission to leadership can be interpreted when Jesus asks that he follow him, which Peter does with ease. However, Peter looks back and sees the disciple who Jesus loves is in tow. Peter comments on him. Peter is reminded to concentrate on his own calling and not to concern himself about others. Our walk in faith is an individual one, but at each turn we are welcomed and greeted by a companion who is always by our sides. We have the Good Shepherd herding us along, anointing and comforting us, protecting and strengthening us along the journey. I hope that we can draw from this passage in John's Gospel that everyone who takes up their cross can walk in confidence, knowing that their movements have been choreographed consciously and lovingly by one God who totally believes in us and shows us by pouring his gracious spirit on us. Amen.